These are very exciting readings in so many ways. It's such an incredible thing. I have to admit, when I was growing up, I was so excited that as early as the book of Exodus, we had a way to, we had rules on how we were supposed to address extraterrestrials. I was excited as a child, you know, you shall not molest or oppress the alien. I was excited. We already know what we were going to do in case we ever got visited. I didn't realize as a child there was another definition for the word alien, but, you know, in my mind, we were ready, you know, right then and there. We could, we were not to molest or oppress them, and apparently they were once aliens themselves. And even with context, apparently I didn't pick up on it, but it was there. And it really does have that powerful reminder to all of us. That very, very important consideration, how do we treat those who are in the minority? How do we treat those who are kind of on the outskirts? How do we address those people who struggle, who are having a difficult time? I was reflecting on this, and of course it fits over with the gospel. It was called love. It's called the love of everything we have and love our neighbors ourselves. I was thinking about this, how we treat the alien, how we encounter people who are new to an area. And I was reflecting on when I got to go on the March for Life last. In 2009, when I was a deacon, I actually got to go to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. It's in January. And I was so excited I got to go. It was kind of a last-minute thing. There was a rescheduling. Someone had to drop out. I got to go in. So within 6 days before we left, I was suddenly on a spot. And there I was on the bus. And it's, I don't know if you were taking a bus ride to D.C., but it's not short. And we got there, and we got situated, and we got our spots in the hotel, and I was hungry. Probably about, I don't know, 8:30, 8:45 at night in downtown D.C. And I was hungry, so I decided I was going to go looking for food in the business district, which shuts down at 9 o'clock at night or earlier, I'm not really sure. And I set out down the road, and in the back of my mind, I heard that little phrase, and that's the last they ever saw of him. You know, I just sort of wandered out. I mean, D.C. is, you know, it's the safest city in the world, but I remember being very hungry and looking around and not finding anything open and becoming more and more frustrated. And then I rounded a corner and there they were, golden arches. Everything else may be closed, but something's open. I don't care how you feel about McDonald's, but trust me, when it's late and you're hungry, it's there, so you go for it. And I'm the alien. I don't know where I am, so I gotta take what I can get. And I headed over to the McDonald's and I'm on my way, and then in the very last alleyway between two buildings before I got to the McDonald's, somebody jumped out at me. He jumped out in front of me and went, "Hey, I'm hungry. Could you get me an apple pie from McDonald's?" And I kind of stood there, trying to take in the situation, addressing the man who has just jumped out at me from a dark alley. Not exactly the fastest way I want to meet somebody. As I'm contemplating what he has just said, he kind of takes a step back. He goes, "You're kind of a big fella, aren't you?" Maybe it wasn't the first person. He wanted me in a dark alley either, so he kind of took a step back and wasn't really sure. I said, "Well, I'll see if they have one." And I went into McDonald's. I was hungry. I'm the alien. I'm the stranger. And I don't even know. I'm just looking for food. And yet, here this man is. That's all he's looking for. He's looking for the same thing I am. He's just looking for something to eat. I went into McDonald's, and of course they were out of pie, so, you know, that was helpful. And it was late, they were closing up, it was, you know, whatever they had left. And since they were out of pies, I wasn't about to go out and retake his order, so I just ordered what I was going to have. I basically just ordered the same thing twice. And they gave me the food right before I came back out, and there the man stood, just in the corner of the alley. Couldn't see him unless he got up really close. It kind of smelled funny. And I said, "They were out of pie, but I'll give you what I have." And he took the bag and he looked at me and he said, "Well, you don't appear to be starving and you're not dead by it, so I guess." And headed off down the alley. And that was it. And I walked back to the hotel, and apparently that wasn't the last they ever saw me because I was there the next morning. But it was this incredible reminder to us. How do we treat the stranger? How do we treat the alien? You know, that's just a chance encounter, someone that I may never see again, but genuinely when we speak of it, it's not just the person that we just see once. What about the person who moves in next door? What about the person who moves in down the street? What about the neighborhood as it starts to shift? It starts to maybe have more people that aren't necessarily exactly like us. Maybe they have a different approach in life, or they come from a different heritage, or they come from any number of differences that marks them as different. The alien, the stranger. And how do we encounter them? Because we have this very powerful reminder from Exodus. They were once strangers and aliens themselves. They were in Egypt. They weren't Egyptians. And how they were treated was terrible. I mean, they were forced into slavery. How do we treat them? When we encounter a neighborhood shift, when we encounter people coming in and they're different from us, how do we treat that? How do we address this? Because I can tell you, I'm from the south side of Chicago, 64th and Lawndale. If you drive through Chicago, 64th and Lawndale now, you better speak a whole lot more Spanish than when I lived there. It's different now. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's different. But how do we treat the alien? How do we encounter them? Because there's a tendency to try and resist, to try and insist that we want to keep things the way that we're comfortable, the way that we're most familiar, and to try and maintain that for as long as possible. And we fight against it, and we make it hard. We make it difficult for anyone who doesn't come along to our exact formation and to move into that area. And this becomes actually a cycle, because just as we resist to that point, once we actually become a minority and there's a shift and we experience that change, then suddenly we're the ones on the oppressed side, because we can no longer have the number of votes, we no longer have a majority, and it forms that cycle all over again, because then they remember how they suffered under their hands of people who didn't like them, and suddenly they don't want to suffer anyone else under anyone else's hands either. And we need to break that cycle. If we're truly to live as people of God, if we're truly to live as Christians, it begins with loving God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, and loving our neighbor as ourself. That neighbor is whoever we encounter. It doesn't have to be the person with property title next door. It's anyone we encounter. And maybe our neighbor doesn't look or interact, or maybe they have a different background, a different culture, maybe they smell, maybe there's just something different and it just throws us off. We still have to respond in love. Maybe they don't share our values or our priorities or our interests. Maybe they're far more concerned about the length of the lawn and the status of the leaves than we are. We still have to respond in love. Maybe they just don't have the same priorities at all, but we still have to respond in love. Never surrendering our values. We hold to our values, we hold to our principles, we are who we are, and we are that witness of Christianity because we stand for what we stand for. But that doesn't mean we compromise in love either. We love by treating them as just as we would want to be treated ourselves. By being that example of love, by being that example of charity, even when we don't receive that example of charity. We respond in love even when we don't receive that love in return. That's what marks us as Christians. That's what marks us as faithful people of God, is to not respond to anger, to not respond to violence, to not molest or oppress the alien, the orphan, the widow, but rather in charity, in genuine love, to show them what it is to be loved by God, both by our word and our deed, in everything that we do.